I'm Mary Harris, filling in for Leonard Lope today. The presidential election took place more than a year ago, and for a while, Hillary Clinton was out of the public eye, except for the occasional photo of her walking in the woods. But she's been gradually re-entering public life, starting with her book, What Happened, which was published in September. It tells the story of the election through her eyes. Washington Post opinion writer Jonathan Capehart recently traveled to her home in Chappaqua, New York, to discuss the book, the election, and President Trump's first year in office for his podcast, Cape Up. He's joining us now to share what he learned. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mary. Thank you very much for having me.
So can I start with something that I'm just really curious about?
Sure.
What is Hillary Clinton's house like?
Okay, so a little clearing that up. We were hoping it would be in the house. And then, like a couple days before, we were informed, no, we're going to do it at a place called Kittle House.
What's that?
It is actually a quite cute inn that's basically around the corner from her house where she's done lots of interviews.
Yeah.
That's where she did her interview with Joy Reid from MSNBC. She did an interview with CNN and a HBO documentary that same day before doing us. So it was actually a comfortable venue for her.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you want to draw out in this interview that other interviews might have missed?
Well, I read the entire book. I underlined. I took notes.
You were in it.
I was in it. And then I went back and transcribed the underlined things into 30 pages of quotes that
Whoa.
Just in case I wanted to pick and choose. And what I wanted to do was pick out the things that fascinated me. And there were three things that fascinated me. One was the fact that for the first time in black and white, she says definitively and in the clearest language possible why she wanted to be president. Hmm. Because, as she says in the book, Bill and Barack were right. I am qualified to be president. We've never heard her take ownership like that.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't feel able to say, I am qualified, I want this job,
right,
until after it was over.
Right. And she gets into the book about how sexism and misogyny played into that. The second thing I asked her about was, and that I was fascinated by, like, how did she come to terms with the fact that millions of people do not like her?
Mm. How did she come to terms with that?
She just had to. And once again, that led into our conversation about sexism. As she said in the book and in the interview, people like women when they are in supporting roles. So remember, when she left the State Department as Secretary of State, the person who President Obama defeated in the Democratic primary to become President of the United States eventually, her approval rating was above 60%. Hmm. The moment she said, I want to be president of the United States, her approval rating went through the floor. When she, and that doesn't translate to like her running for Senate, but that's not the top job. So when she's supporting her husband, former President Bill Clinton, in his campaigns for president,
everyone's on the boat.
Right. And the same thing with President Obama.
I'm wondering, you followed Hillary for years. How did she feel different as a human when you saw her in person?
Well, see, here's the thing. Hillary Clinton, who I first met in 1999 at a dinner at the White House, is pretty much the same person. Very guarded. I think because I've covered her for a long time, she's maybe a little less guarded,
right,
with me, and certainly a less guarded now that she's not running for anything anymore. And as she said to me, you know, I'm done. My guard is down. I'm going to basically tell it like it is. And that was the third thing we talked about. She has no love whatsoever for President Trump. Throughout the book, there are little
jabs,
digs and jabs and like outright, you know, pages upon pages of what she thinks he has done wrong and done wrong to the country, both in terms of the poisoning of the political discourse, but also in terms of policy.
You know, you talked to her about this phone call that you had with her in July of 2016. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So Hillary Clinton had by then given three speeches on race.
Hmm.
And the most recent one was, before that call, was, I believe, the one on the alt-right. She was very concerned about the demons that were being unleashed by then candidate Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Everything that he had said about Mexicans, and I don't think Muslims had come into the mix by then, but his hate.
She felt it coming.
Right. She felt it coming, and she wanted to get it out there that she was very troubled by this. One of the reasons she's like, I've given these speeches, but they don't go anywhere because this guy is taking up all the oxygen. And sure enough, we do the interview. I write up my piece. It goes out. And one of the questions I asked her was,
back then,
how concerned are you that we are one police shooting away from riots and civic unrest? And she said, I'm very concerned. 2 days later, I believe it was the Baton Rouge shootings of the police that happened.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, she had her finger on the pulse. And, I've given her credit both in my columns and also in the podcast for doing something that was not politically advantageous to her. She talked about race and racism throughout the campaign, not only just in those major speeches, but in other campaign events around the country, because just as an American, she felt very concerned about what was happening to the country when it comes to the very problematic and troublesome and inherent problems of race.
At the time, was she connecting the sexism as well?
Not when it comes to the race, but you know, yeah. when with sexism, you know, she goes into it in great detail,
in the book.
She goes into sexism, and then she goes into misogyny and talks about the difference between the two. And then in the interview, in the podcast interview, she talks about how that played into, how people perceived her. And she used my question about, you know, millions of people don't like you, Hillary Clinton. And she said, well, you know, some people were convinced not to like me by the media, by her critics and opponents. And she talks about how, and then that gets what I was talking about before, about how when women go for the top job, all of these gender-based things come into play that have people turn on them.
Yeah, I want to play a little sound from the podcast because she said women are perceived differently when they try to advocate for themselves or reach new levels of success. Here's what she said.
When a woman is advocating on behalf of someone else, then you are viewed favorably. If you advocate for yourself, all kinds of really deep set feelings kick in. So I did want to say, look, I know people didn't like me. A lot of them were convinced not to like me, but that's still the same reality, which I encountered during the course of the campaign. And too many people believe that. And I didn't do a good enough job in trying to not only refute that, but to set people's minds at ease.
So what's funny to me about that is just that it feels like she can only name this now. She couldn't name it in July of 2016 in that phone call, you know, because it would sound like she was a whiner.
Right. No, true.
And, you know, it seems like she's really entered this new, that's what's changed to me about her.
Right. She can be free. She can be herself, and she can talk about the things the way she sees them. The other thing she says in the book is that, you know, she thought that her ideas, her policy ideas would win the day. That, and, you know, she recognizes that she is not a great campaigner. She's not her husband. She's not the former president. But she thought, you know, if I get through the campaign part and get into the governing part, I know I will be good at the governing part. I think most people know and understand that Hillary Clinton, when it comes to governing, would have been an amazing president, but she had that huge hurdle of campaigning.
Yeah. I mean, she got a little emotional when she told you the story about a woman on the subway. I wonder if you can talk about that a little bit.
So that was the story in the papers just before Thanksgiving about the woman here in the city. There was a guy who was manspreading on the subway, and the woman made a comment and he hit her in the face.
Yeah.
And that led into the discussion that we had about misogyny.
And she sees it differently than sexism, right?
It is a violent form of sexism. You know, she said that this that sort of thing is about, it's about hatred. It's not just a biased view about women or a negative view about women. It is a negative view that that fuels a violent reaction.
Yeah, yeah. I did notice there's one thing you didn't talk about, which is Donna Brazile. And
oh, there's only so much time. I mean, I had a lot of ground to cover in about 40 minutes. So
for those who don't know, Donna Brazile came out with her own book.
Right.
You probably want to explain.
Yes. So, and Donna was a guest on my podcast 2 weeks before the Hillary Clinton podcast interview went out. And, you know, there's a misperception of Donna Brazile's book, I think, having read that book. The press of her book is completely different than the book she actually wrote.
Because the press of her book is that she thought about giving up on Hillary Clinton. And
that is not the case at all.
Interesting.
Her book is, they're nothing but bouquets to Hillary Clinton. She wanted her to win. She's been her friend for years. She loves Hillary. What Donna Brazile did not like were the men, or as she says in one part of the book, Donna Brazile says in her book, quote, the smart white boys, who were running her campaign and who were condescending to her, Donna Brazile. Here's a woman who was a former chair of the party twice, ran a presidential campaign, and yet here were these young whippersnappers who were treating her like she was a dinosaur and a relic who was just in it for name recognition. So I didn't ask Secretary Clinton about Donna Brazile because, you know, there are actually bigger things to talk about.
Yeah. Jonathan Capehart, thank you so much for joining
us. Mary.
Tomorrow, you are going to be in this chair guest hosting for Leonard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.